Welcome to Locked On Golden Knights. How much does the VGK front office meddle in daily lineup decisions? Coming up next.
You're Locked On Golden Knights, your daily podcast on the Vegas Golden Knights, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, hi again, everyone. The gang is all here and back together once again. And Chris, you're opening a proverbial can of worms with your topic of the day. I saw that your Twitter question went out yesterday about whether the fans believe that the front office for VGK makes a lot of the decisions on starting lineups. So let me ask you this to start things off, okay? I'm going right into the one. When Pete DeBoer said last season that, you know, he was platooning the goaltenders, Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner, do you feel that that was a decision made by the front office? Was it something that was made by Pete DeBoer? Or was it a combination of both? Was it a way to keep Alan Walsh, the agent for Marc-Andre Fleury? Was it a way to keep him away from the organization? I just want to know, like, what your thoughts are, because I seem to believe that the front office, a lot of the times, is micromanaging whoever the head coach might be for the Golden Knights.
I haven't thought about Walsh in a while. I think he blocked me on Twitter for something I said to him. Go figure. Tony, I do think there is something happening as far as the front office goes and being influential in decisions for the day-to-day rosters. You just said, did they platoon the goalies last year on purpose? You don't sign a goalie for $5 million just so that goalie can play 15 or 18 games of the regular season. So I would have to believe that there was some level of, hey, we're paying this guy a lot of money. Maybe Fleury's breaking down a little bit. Let's have this $12.5 million in goalies at your disposal, and let's go ahead and equally disperse their games, you know, plus or minus, of course. The poll you're alluding to, I basically said, do I feel there is a lot of interference, a little interference, or no interference at all from the front office as far as day-to-day operations goes, or day-to-day lineup decisions? 39% for lots, 33 for a little, and then we're in the, you know, low 30s for no interference at all. So, or lower 20s, I should say. So we're all kind of split on that. And an example I want to give here that I looked up, we were talking about this all weekend, actually. Season number 3, when VGK was a fringe playoff team, they lose 4 straight games. Actually, they go to Buffalo and lose, of all things, just to kind of pour a little more gasoline on the fire. But they go to Buffalo, they lose. I think they got shut out 4-0 that game. And Gallant is out. Pete DeBoer is in. Derek England played games 1 through 44, didn't miss a single game, if I'm looking at this correct, plays games 1 through 44 with Gerard Gallant. DeBoer comes in, England plays the next 5 games. After that, Derek England is never heard from again, as far as being on the VGK roster, outside of being a healthy scratch. So I'm looking at that as a possibility for the VGK front office trying to intervene. I could very well paint a picture where McCrimmon and or McPhee are knocking on Gallant's door. Hey, let's talk about these, you know, your daily lineup and stuff like that. And England's already always out there. Our, at that point, our captain, even though he didn't have the C on his jersey, but definitely our captain, our emotional leader, as far as in the eyes of the fans, everyone's leader, you know, just based on his speech from the inaugural game in season number 1. I'm not advocating that England should be an everyday player by any means, but this is also a roster that had Nick Holden, John Merrill at the time, and other players kind of in and out with injuries. And all of a sudden, DeBoer comes in, England's never heard from again. So I have to just somewhat think that that may have had something to do with Gallant's firing. McPhee and McCrimmon want the lineup a certain way. Gallant says, no, England's my guy. England's going to be out there every game as long as he's healthy. Well, a four-game losing streak happens, and all of a sudden there's a change of the leadership wins in Las Vegas.
So I've got to ask this question. I have to pose the question. We went back and forth with our banner this past weekend. Do you think that there was a player in the lineup consistently this past season? Well, there was no player in the lineup consistently. But do you feel as though Pete DeBoer might have been forced at times to play some players he didn't want to?
I mean, I think we can start with the goalies, I guess, and near the end of the season. You and I talked a lot about that Capitals game, obviously, where Leonard was pulled, and then, you know, was that McCrimmon, you know, knocking on the door, get him out. And there was a game just before that, I believe, where we felt Leonard would not be starting as well. I can't recall that exact game. So, yeah, I mean, I do think, is he being completely forced? I don't think he needs to be forced, because DeBoer doesn't come across as strong. And I say that, I want to say that the right way. I'm just the easiest word that comes to mind at 7:09 in the morning. He doesn't seem to have as strong as a backbone as Gerard Gallant, as Barry Trotz, as John Tortorella. Those types of coaches will tell their GM to get the hell out of their office. I mean, that's who they are. And that's how the coach should be able to handle things. Sure, you should be able to have a healthy conversation with everyone around you, especially the people above you, when it comes to your day-to-day decisions. But if they're knocking on the door and saying, hey, we really want to see goalie XYZ tonight, or how about taking this right wing, taking him from line one, put him on line three, why don't you put your line two center, put him up on the wing. Like, if all that is happening, then why do you have a coach? And the same thing goes uphill. We talked about McCrimmon and Foley's new interest, if you will, this year in day-to-day decisions and such. Well, why even have McCrimmon if Foley is going to be the one pulling the strings this season?
Now, remember last week I was saying, will this be a good job to turn down in the future? And so I just jumped onto the Locked On Avalanche spaces the other night, not knowing what was ahead of me, and the firestorm, and suddenly I'm on there and people are talking. It was so much fun, though. But one of the questions that they asked to me was, will this be a job that people will turn down? Will this be a job that coaches are going to lose interest in? Because who wants to report to Kelly McCrimmon? I couldn't imagine having to deal with Mr. Eyebrows each and every day. Get those suckers plucked or whatever you need to do. He needs his own Twitter handle.
Oh, God.
McCrimmon's Eyebrows.
I actually thought about that. It's funny you said that. But I don't think anyone is turning this job down. Now, someone may not submit, you know, a level of interest in it based on some things that have happened. But, you know, you have tax benefits of working in Las Vegas, number one. You have one of the newest arenas in Las Vegas. You have top-notch practice facilities. You know your team is going to be right up against the salary cap. You know you're going to have talent around. We're not going to go as far as say that people are going to start turning this job down. I mean, everyone's got a price, and Vegas is willing to find what that price is, as we have all these shiny new toys that we don't like to go after all the time. So no one turning the VGK coaching job down. Now, all being equal, sure, maybe they'll go somewhere else, but you know, Barry Trotz comes in and says, hey, here's my numbers. Here's what I want. VGK will either match or exceed that number, you know, the way they do their financial business. He's not going to say, no, I'm out. Like that's, I think people are getting a little ahead of themselves in saying people are going to start turning this job down.
So didn't McCrimmon say in one of his press conferences, maybe the end of the season presser, didn't he say, just something that sticks out in my mind about Robin Leonard having to come back? Remember, he comes back for the Sunday game. Didn't McCrimmon say something to the effect that he had to play in that game because of McNabb coming back? And something is just not right with the way that he posed that. And it didn't make sense to me then. It makes less sense to me today. But Kelly McCrimmon, they definitely meddle in the day-to-day lineups. now playing when you have Pete DeBoer saying, I want to roll four lines, and he comes out with an 11-7 configuration. Who was that on?
I can't remember if there was much of a choice in some of those games. I'm trying to think back at some of the scratches. So going back, I think it was Carrier that had to come back in the lineup. And
okay,
somehow,
Carrier.
Yeah, and somehow Leonard being in the lineup made that happen. And I said this on the show probably a month or so ago. I'm sure there are many, many different rules and clauses and sub-clauses to the way the salary cap goes. So when McCrimmon makes a statement like that, I'm buying that it needs to happen. But what I'm not buying is the way he presented it. So basically, the media was pretty frisky that day. The first time you actually really saw the media asking some borderline questions. And they were trying to, you know, just get an answer out of him. And McCrimmon got to the point where, listen, I'm not going to answer that, or I just don't have to answer that, but you just got to trust me. He's up there saying, just trust me with his hands out there. Just trust me. I'm a politician. I mean, that's the part that I didn't like. Like, I want to trust you. I want to trust everybody. I'm a fan of this team. I am a season reservation investor, using an old Bill Wirtz quote from the Chicago Blackhawks. So I want to trust everything that's said. I don't need to know all the information about what's happening or why, but, you know, I don't feel that level of trust is there. Going back to that, yeah, I don't understand why that happened. I don't understand why Leonard had to be out there. The 11-7 situation, I mean, yeah, if DeBoer had a 12 forward and was voluntarily not playing him, then yeah, that's on DeBoer. But when they were doing the 11-7, Coghlan was either playing on the power play or taking a very, very rare wing shift just simply to spell somebody, or maybe someone had a little bit of an injury, so he went out there hopefully to provide a little bit of energy. So I have to think the 11-7 was not on DeBoer. Other teams do deploy an 11-7 system, and you see that seventh defenseman going through all the different defensive combinations. You see that defenseman in the power play. You see that defenseman getting more than 2.5 or 3 minutes a game as well. That's all Coghlan was getting, if anything at all, when he was a seventh defenseman.
Yeah, and to me, I just think that they are continuing to meddle the front office in those day-to-day decisions. And does that worsen now with Bill Foley saying he's going to take a more active role? I wish I could see a job description on what a more active role might look like.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm curious. I don't think Foley is going to be down there in the film sessions and talking about strategies and how aggressive their forecheck's going to be, if they're going to cycle versus crash the net and stuff like that. I don't see Foley involved in that side of the things. But when it comes to roster decisions and trades, stuff like that, I think Foley's going to want to, instead of just being on the email before it happens, Foley's going to have to click approve, I think. And I believe that's going to be a little more of where his involvement comes from. And I'm curious to see how it plays out. VGK is going to make, we're probably, it's May 24th. I think the second week of July is when things really get going as far as free agency and such happens. That's when it's going to be really interesting to see what types of moves are made. I think you'll see Foley commenting on a lot of the moves, which he normally doesn't do. And it's... I said this with our friends from the Fantasy Hockey Life podcast on Sunday that's going to be coming out this week. Troubled waters in Vegas, folks. Troubled waters in Vegas with the salary cap, the meddling, as we're talking about right now. And
long-term
how...
contracts. The long-term stinking contracts. This window is getting tighter.
And Tony, that's the thing. The long-term contracts aren't even on the front of my mind right now. That shows how much... you know, just how much BS is out there right now. Call it what it is. There's a lot of stuff happening right now. And VGK is going to have to find a way to right the ship quickly, because like you said, you know, Pacioretty, Stone, Petrangelo, all these players there, they're getting older. They're either close to or on the wrong side of 30. Our window was last year, in my opinion. Our window was last year, especially with the salary cap roulette wheel spinning in our favor as far as exceeding the salary cap. And I felt last year was the year. This year, they're going to have to do it on less talent on paper. But that's where we got to find hopefully a gem from Henderson that's going to help get us there, and maybe a low-level free agent signing, you know, that's just going to pop. Maybe you'll find another Chandler Stephenson out there.
Coming up next, should the playoffs be expanded in the National Hockey League? Should more teams be in the postseason dance? Stay with us. More ahead right here on Locked On Golden Knights. Imagine dipping your finger into a plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and then realizing it was only 150 calories and 16 grams of protein. That is what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff from Built Bar. We just received our birthday cake puffs. Myself and Chris have never had anything like it. They're available right now. We cannot promise that they will be there tomorrow because mine are all gone. And I know how quickly they go. So go to built.com to get more. And if you haven't tried those puffs, I'll just let you in on a little secret. That's what friends do. They chew to their puffs. And that's what Chris did with his family. I know that. They're packing all their puffs for all their outings this summer. Make every day your birthday with Built's birthday cake puffs. Built has taken the delicious experience of biting into a fresh slice of birthday cake, and it's enrobed in 100% white chocolate. And they also added sprinkles. If you're watching on video, I just did the sprinkle motion right there. All Built puffs covered 100% real chocolate. And of course, they are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Go to built.com to get birthday cake puffs right now. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back on Locked On Golden Knights. Tony Cardasco and Chris Golic. And Chris, tell all of our listeners and viewers about our new YouTube channel. They need to subscribe right now. Get to it.
Yeah, folks, YouTube, Locked On VGK, just like our Twitter handle. Check it out. Very important to us if you can give us a subscribe first. Like all of our videos. Give us some comments. And, yeah, let's continue the conversation on YouTube about today's show.
Okay, so the current structure in the National Hockey League for the playoffs has half of the teams, 16 out of 32, they've come a very long way from the original 6 days where four of the six teams made it into the playoffs. Boy, that was a breeze. BGK would have loved that structure. Gary Bettman believes that this creates what he calls a competitive balance. Some are of the belief from the that the playoffs should be following the model of the National Basketball Association with the play-in games and all of that. So does this add more excitement in a league of parity? VGK late in the season. Remember, I was like so into it this past season. Those are the games where you're sitting at the edge of your seat and you're watching some great hockey games. I thought it was so exciting. Fans might beg to differ there. But I agree with Bettman that this could be the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Stanley Cup could be the hardest championship to win. And literally saw VGK fans whining that the playoffs should have been expanded this past season. They should have had like a little addendum, of course, because VGK fans are so spoiled. So the Golden Knights could have been in the playoffs. But how do you feel about the structure currently? I like 16 teams. I really believe that 16 is enough. And I do really believe that those games that were meaningful towards the end of the season made the season more exciting. They were just games, you know, with a lot of the players going through the motions late in the season. And again, it's a league of parity now.
It's good to have you back, Tony. You're spicy again on a Tuesday. It's good to have you back. So let's talk about a few things here, folks. Number one, yes, the NHL Stanley Cup, the NHL playoffs, hardest tournament in sports to win, hardest trophy in sports to earn. Now, the playoff system has not changed in such a very long time. The only small change that was made, well, two changes. Let's go back, I think, in the early 2000s, late 90s. The opening round used to be five games. Now that was extended to seven games. And then I believe it was around the lockout period in the mid-2000s when they switched to the format instead of 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, etc. It is now the top teams in each of the divisions play the wild card teams. You have the 2 versus 3 in each division playing each other to create some more rivalries and such. And, you know, our love-hate relationship with teams like the Sharks and such like that, or, you know, everything else happening in the other divisions here. We had a poll on our Twitter handle. 95% of you like everything the way it is. There was probably 2 or 3 of you that wanted to expand the playoffs. Every other league, every other of the major 3 professional leagues in North America have expanded their playoffs to a large degree. I like it the way it is, number one. I want to start by saying I, as a fan, like it the way it is. VGK didn't get in. Who cares? That's on VGK, whatever, moving forward from that. But let's put something out there right now for a second. What makes all this go for, folks, is the amount of money the league is making, the amount of money the teams are making. Without them making money, me and Tony can't be here arguing about the Vegas Golden Knights and everything else happening in the sports landscape. So a reason that it should at least be thought about with an open mind to potentially expand an already perfect system, in my opinion, but to potentially expand is now instead of just, you know, 1 or 2 teams kind of on that bubble, now you could have 4 or 5 teams if you simply have a 9th seed, so you do an eighth versus 9th play-in type game. Now you have 4, 5, even 6 teams vying down the stretch to get into that play-in game. And other franchises, VGK sells out every game. That's probably not going to change for a long time. A long, long time. VGK is going to sell every game for a long, long time, as are many of the other storied franchises. But look at a team like Florida. Look at a team like Buffalo. Well, Arizona is a different situation now. But some of these mid to small market teams who are having a hard time drawing people down the stretch simply because their team is all but out of it. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to have 4, 5, or 6 more teams showing a large increase in attendance, better sponsorship sales, and just more revenue coming in. So it should be viewed by an open mind, at least, for the NHL to consider expanding. Now, the old school person in me, I love it the way it is. I don't want to see a change. I think it would absolutely suck. Best word I could think of. It would absolutely suck to be the 8th seed, and now you have to play a game to earn your playoff spot. That would be a very unfortunate situation, but have an open mind, folks. If they do something like that, it's in the league's best interest, and the more money the league makes, the more entertaining the games should be for us as fans.
I would like them to bring back the Clarence Campbell Conference, for starters. And then what's the Honda division? Wasn't this in the bubble? Was that in the bubble years?
The each Honda of the division?
Whatever each, happened to that?
Each of the divisions had a corporate title sponsor, which more money. Right. More money.
Well, what happened to that alignment? I have to ask that. But what might have prompted a lot of this expansion topic, though, you know, when you go back to the root of it, the play-in games, as you just mentioned, play-in games within the two bubbles in the 2019 and the 2020 seasons. And so I think that kind of gave fans a taste, and I think for the National Hockey League, it was a little bit of a litmus test.
I think they did an absolutely wonderful job with the bubble playoffs. You had the round robin games, you had the play-in games, you had the play-in series, if you will, so to speak. The 12th seeded Chicago Blackhawks eliminated the 5th seeded Edmonton Oilers. How far they've come, I'm sure we'll talk about that in our last segment, of course. I think they did a wonderful job with that, and I think it piqued interest in a different way. So sure, I'm sure Bettman and Co. was watching closely. I'm sure in whatever, however their strategy sessions go, I'm sure they took a lot of notes and filed that for future use. And if they do consider expanding, they'll look back on the bubble scenario and see how they got to their, you know, they're not going to bring in 12 teams for each conference and say, go get them. You know, have a tournament to get in the tournament, so to speak. It's not going to be anything crazy like that, but I mean, maybe they even find a way to do a four-team plan. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying, I'm not advocating for that by any means, but the bubble worked as well as it could, although I believe, I think Jack Eichel was actually pretty vocal about it because I think the Canadians got in. They were 1 point ahead of the Sabres, and you know, Jack Eichel, you know, at that point was 3 or 4 seasons removed from never being in the playoffs. So he was so close and so close with us, and hopefully we can fix that next year with only the top 8 teams in each conference.
Well, Pete DeBoer was right about one thing. The President's Trophy means nothing. We'll have more about the playoffs coming up next. You are listening to Locked On Golden Knights. Welcome back to Locked On Golden Knights. Tony Cardasco and Chris Golic in Las Vegas. And again, you can watch us every day via YouTube at Locked On VGK or listen to us wherever you get your podcast on Locked On VGK as well. So very disturbing what is happening with Nazem Kadri. And his wife had posted on her Instagram, I guess yesterday, some of the hate messages from fans he has faced over the past 48 hours plus, death threats, racist attacks. And that happened after he ran into the Blues' Jordan Binnington, which in essence takes him out. And then we saw Binnington, who is a very, very sore sport. And I don't know why he hasn't been clocked before. Throwing a water bottle. Oh, you're throwing a water bottle at me. Hey, at Kadri. Well, at least what Kadri said that he saw, you know, off camera there when he was doing the post-game interview. In any event, last night's game. Wow, I thought that they were headhunting Nazem Kadri. And we saw David Perron involved in a lot of the shenanigans. Perron had, he actually cross-checked him twice and pushed down Kadri to the ice. And then Kadri scores on that 5-on-3. And then late in the game, we see Perron come flying through after the second Kadri goal, right, of the night with the elbow that he just, I mean, if that thing connected, that would have knocked him silly. So the thing that really got to me the most, and I understand why Avalanche fans might be upset, was just the lack of any action by Berube, Craig Berube, right, the head coach of the St. Louis Blues. When, you know, they asked him about everything that was going on with Kadri, about the death threats, about all the racist comments and what have you, and he just goes, no comment. And shouldn't the head coach step up in a time like that? I mean, it's uncalled for, and there has to be some level of just caring, just outside of the sportsmanship realm.
I'm thinking. It's a tough one. That is such a tough scenario. And, you know, sports are sports, people. You know, for it to get to the level of, you know, what it's gotten to, there's just no words that you can say. I mean, I don't know if the coach can possibly say anything at that point. Anything the coach says is going to be taken one way. And it's almost setting up the coach for that hot take that, you know, someone wants to put on their Twitter or their article and stuff like that. So I don't take him saying no comment as insensitive or inappropriate. I honestly think he was probably told, whether it's the league, whether it's his ownership or leadership, to say that. So I'm okay with him saying no comment there. No comments.
Meanwhile, we could see a lot of emotions, right, Chris, spilling over tonight at Madison Square Garden. Gerard Gallant, will he send Ryan Reeves to do the headhunting in this game? Will he be a goon? Will he have a display of goonery, rile it up against the Hurricanes? Could see that. We saw the chirping between Gallant and Tony DeAngelo at the end of the game. I just love the fire of Gerard Gallant, and I think that that's something that VGK missed this past season, or while since he's been gone. But Max Domi goes out, and of course, he hits Ryan Lindgren in the back. Gallant afterwards saying that he was not happy with all the BS. We'll keep it PG. And he said, we've got a guy that could handle all of their guys if we want to. And we didn't do it like that in games one and two. And tonight the Rangers cannot up this series. And the Canes just are having a difficult time winning on the road. And I think Ranger fans are very savvy fans, but no one understood that pretty much at the end of the game, when the Rangers got in the circle, they were mocking the storm surge, but no one seemed to notice that, not even on SportsCenter, definitely not on ESPN. They were mocking it, though. I thought it was funny.
That's pretty interesting, but your team still, I say you just in general, your team's down 2-1. Let's maybe save that for
game you're saying seven, it about yeah. me.
No. Just more of a general comment. I like the Rangers. I hope the Rangers do advance. I love Gerard Gallant, obviously. Now, kind of going back to the similar situations with all the extra behind the whistle, extracurricular activities taking place in the Rangers Hurricane Series along with the Blues Avalanche. You take a number and you wait for the right time. You cannot. The Blues were headhunting last night. They were headhunting, and the second that game got, somewhat out of reach, instead of focusing on trying to erase the deficits or get some momentum for the next game, no, we're going to go out there and we're going to attack Kadri every time we get. So every team plays each other in the regular season. Go get Ogie Oglethorpe. Go get the. Go get everyone else out there. Go get your AHL goons. Bring them up for game 39 of the regular season that is borderline meaningless. And you want to take it there, take it there. But doing it in the playoffs and basically throwing away a game, I'll put that on the coaching staff for not being able to control their athletes. And I think that might be a difference between Gallant's and the Blues coach, where Gallant's going to keep everyone in check. He's got his missiles pointed towards the Hurricanes, so to speak, and referencing Ryan Reeves and many of the other physical players that they have, but he's not going to deploy them. He's not going to say, okay, Reeves, go out there and get him every chance you get. No, Reeves is going to finish his checks like he does every game. Something happens after the whistle, Reeves will drop him if he needs to, but I'll be damned if Reeves is going to be out there getting two or three roughing minors and putting the team behind the eight ball. That's not going to happen. And maybe that's the difference between Gallant and Berube. Gallant's going to control his athletes, and they're going to give the Hurricanes a great game and hopefully keep the Hurricanes winless on the road.
And I don't think that Pete DeBoer could handle Ryan Reeves. I think that Gerard Gallant knows what buttons to push, really, when necessary. You don't agree with that statement. I know that.
Well, DeBoer liked Ryan Reeves, though. DeBoer liked having him. DeBoer starred him every damn game, and fine. I think DeBoer wanted a physical four-line team, whether there was some interference, as we talked about earlier, or just the injury wheel spinning. But, DeBoer liked Reeves. Could he use him appropriately? Maybe that's a debatable topic, though.
So they had a Kane Brown concert at Amalie Arena, I guess. That's why they were playing back-to-backs in that series, and Florida consented to playing the back-to-back games. Okay, if you are Tampa, if you are the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you have a streak of winning two cups in a row, why in the world would you schedule a country concert during the playoff picture? So right now, T-Mobile Arena, I know it's for money, but T-Mobile Arena has gone dark. Because these are all the playoff dates for VGK. They should have expanded the playoffs so that they'd still be alive. They'd still be playing. So the Tampa Bay Lightning move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They sweep the Florida Panthers. Yeah, the President's Cup means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Vasi's been on fire, between the pipes. And it's the sixth trip to the Eastern Conference Finals in the last eight seasons for Tampa, Chris. Vasilevsky, 49 saves to close out the series. He is a money goaltender. Clutch.
So I think something that's not being talked about a whole lot in that series, I don't think Florida would have been swept if Quenneville was still on the bench. Cooper versus Andrew Burnett, I mean, there's not even close to that being a fair fight. Does Tampa advance if Joel Quenneville's coaching Florida? I think so. I mean, Tampa seems to be an unstoppable machine again. The third seed in the Atlantic seems to be an unstoppable force. Go figure. But if Joel Quenneville's out there, I think that series is a little bit closer. But yeah, Vasilevskiy, man, he's a machine. You know, the best goaltender in all of the world as far as hockey is concerned, in my opinion. Tampa has two goals disallowed in that game. The first one, you can argue a lot, did hit the net, did it not hit the net? You saw a couple players react to it. That's why I think it did hit the net. None of the replays seem to be conclusive that I saw. The second goal disallowed was clearly a hand pass out of the faceoff circle. Should have been ruled a penalty. That's actually a penalizable, is that a word? A penalizable offense, but you can't go back and call it a penalty, but you can review a hand pass, which was a pretty quick review in that situation. But yeah, Tampa found a way. Cooper led them, and I loved Cooper's reaction to the first goal being disallowed. Didn't put up a fight, didn't flip out, just kind of smiled, had a quick conversation with the refs, and kept the team in check, whereas a lot of other coaches might have just lost their poop, so to speak, and the team comes unwound all of a sudden.
So we've got Edmonton, and that was my team to make it to the Stanley Cup Final. Edmonton, I had Edmonton, Toronto, but I said that they were the best team in the West, and they might be. Who knows? But I mean, Colorado is going to be tough to beat, but I'd like to see an Edmonton-Colorado series because I think they'd be racing up and down the ice. I think it would be a wide-open series. Connor McDavid and Evander Kane have been the story for the Edmonton Oilers. Kane's got two hat tricks in the playoffs.
VGK fans.
Much to the dismay of VGK fans.
VGK fans, I'm going to give you about 4 or 5 seconds to go get like some lettuce or a tomato maybe out of your fridge because you're going to start throwing it at me. 5, 4, 3. Folks, Evander Kane right now is the ultimate misfits. He was thrown out by the Sharks for whether you agree or not, doesn't matter, but he was cut from his team he was with for a long, 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 long time. Gets a second chance, as many VGK players did. Gets a second chance and is absolutely lighting the hockey world on fire. In the regular season, 43 games, 22 goals, 17 assists, and a plus 25? A plus 25. Ooh. Now he's got 10 goals, 3 assists in 10 playoff games. Folks, that could be your playoff MVP if Edmonton does simply make it to the Stanley Cup final. How can you not be rooting for this guy as a VGK fan? Sorry, tomatoes went flying over me. How can you not be rooting for this guy? I get who he is. I get everything that's happened. I'm leaving most of the off-ice drama out besides his gambling debts to various Las Vegas entertainment casinos. But it is a fun story. Now, he is out there playing on the same line as Connor McDavid. That improves a player. I get that. But I am enjoying watching Evander Kane succeed. I hope he does. I hope he does well. And it's going to be make it even more fun because now whatever team he winds up joining in the offseason, whether he stays with Edmonton or not, he's going to get paid again. He's going to get a massive contract. And you could see him possibly return to, you know, his old Atlanta days, his old days with Winnipeg, putting up a ton of points. And he's fun. He's fun to watch right now. He is fun to watch. I mean, remember when the Edmonton was at the first series that went to 7 games? He's up there holding up. Yeah, 7. He's up there after he gets the empty netter holding his hands up to the crowd and stuff like that. Like, I'm sorry. I like the guy right now. I'm not sorry. I enjoy watching Evander Kane. I hope he does well. VGK fans, I get you may not like him, but if you're a VGK misfit supporter, you have to at least be excited for what he is achieving because it's awesome and it's fun. And I enjoy watching Evander Kane succeed right now, folks. I do.
And he is the ultimate power forward in the National Hockey League. That's how they refer to him.
That's fair.
And, of course, the Cosmopolitan is rooting for him as well because the deeper he goes in the playoffs, the more checks he gets that will pay off his debts.
Let me get here real fast. So I saw probably one of my favorite, and I want to make sure I put this, you know, in the right way. But when Evander Kane, I think it was his first game in Vegas after that story broke about all the gambling debts at Cosmo, there was somebody in the, like, literally in the front row of the glass on the shark side. So when you go to any casino, they have all these responsible gaming pamphlets about numbers to call if you're having a problem with, you know, over gambling, so to speak, ways to seek help. Dude, somewhere in the front row, just, I think he was just wearing a suit, almost dressed like a casino executive. And he simply taped all those pamphlets all over him and just stood there in the front row during warmups. Awesome. And oh my goodness. So I love hockey. I love hockey fans. They're so much fun. What chirps. That was good.
Yeah. And so there's nothing happening before we depart for today's episode. It's all quiet on the Western front here.
Too quiet.
It is way too quiet with who is going to succeed Pete DeBoer. So are they waiting for something to happen for the season? Do they have their sights on someone who's still in the playoffs? What's going on there? When, you know what? Let's try to guess when they will decide on a new coach. Maybe we do that tomorrow. We'll make our predictions, okay? We'll do that tomorrow, and we'll come up with a date. You have your date. I have mine, and we've already predicted, you know, it's going to be Barry Trotz. We know that.
No. Maybe so with the Florida series in Quinnville. Maybe that could be something to discuss. I don't know how that whole thing played out with his situation there, but yeah, I don't know. Too quiet.
They're gonna too quiet. Yeah, they're going to have to do something soon, I think. I really do believe that too. So again, Tony Cardasco and Chris Golic, we come to you from Las Vegas each and every day, except for yesterday when my flight was delayed. Stinking flights. Thanks for making Lockdown Golden Knights your first listen. It's free and available on every platform. And, of course, now you want to check out Lockdown NHL. Catch all the action for second-round matchups to each Stanley Cup kiss. Lockdown NHL covers the playoffs like no other. And you can hear all the latest news and opinions from local experts every Monday through Friday. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast as well. And don't forget to check us out and to subscribe on our new YouTube channel, Locked On VGK. You see it right there. And tune in, of course, if you can't, go to YouTube and, of course, become a fan. That's what we're looking for, fans. For my man, Chris G, Chris Golic, right there at TD Chris G. I'm Tony Cardasco saying so long for now from Las Vegas. Thanks for tuning in to Locked On Golden Knights. Take care.